God is doing a lot of new things, and it seems to be accelerating in its development. And for those of you who have been standing alongside all of us as saints for a long period of time, I want to thank you. And I mentioned yesterday that I was listening to a cassette tape from a seminar here. It was the second seminar in 2002. And it was really interesting to hear what was being talked about. Because in 2001, it's obvious that the Lord was starting to prepare us to have the left foot of fellowship from our previous movement and to launch into what we are as the Father's Church. And so 2001, Ministering with Angels and Diversities of Tongues was released. 2002, then The Saints and Pneumaticos was released. We did a fivefold kind of a seminar here on a Saturday, just among our own people, you know, the people that were here, part of our church, which at that time was the Lakewood Assembly. And it's just really interesting to listen, to look back, because at that time, during that second seminar, the emphasis was on people becoming aware of the Spirit. That seminar was called Ministering in the Spirit Realm. And so trying to get people to be, as they were receiving diversities and opening their spirit in a broader way to the Lord. It was interesting that the emphasis was on being aware of the angelic and being aware of pockets of the presence of the Lord and that kind of thing. And that's a good thing. That's really an elemental thing. But the challenge was that there were people that were coming just to be kind of like Disney World, you know. Let me come and experience this thing. Let me come and be aware. And the enemy, to some degree, was all over that. And when we started to transition into taking responsibility in the kingdom and learning why God created you the way he did and learning the principles of the kingdom and that you are to interpret and you're to serve and you're to stand in the gap. And there was a lot of folks that really weren't interested in that. You know, they just liked dating. They didn't really want to make a commitment. And so it was very interesting to see then the progression of how we've come to where we are now. And I do believe that the Lord is positioning us, all of you. And there is a heightened release of responsibility. He's giving us his strategies to a greater degree for what how we need to apply who he's made us to be, our assignment from him, the things that he's taught us, the principles to go out and make disciples. Now, when we were in Brazil last time, just a few weeks ago, something just came to me, and I said, you know, God didn't create us to go into all the world and make babies. He created us to go into all the world and make disciples. And everybody laughed, and I thought, well, that hit home. And it's really our assignment to go where the Lord opens and to train and to raise up people who will take responsibility in the kingdom. So this coming September, we'll be celebrating the 50th celebration here, the 50th seminar. We'll probably do a lot of research as to the various other seminars that have happened around the world and the other different points of ministry that weren't necessarily seminars. You know, I was trying to discern all the places that the Lord has led us to go and pray in the Spirit and establish the cross. And it kind of shocked me when I recognized where all the Lord has allowed us to serve him. And I say us. So I think this is a point of realization. It's a point of coming to grips with what has brought us to this point, because everything that God has done in your life, especially as saints, has brought you to this point. And what are you going to do with it? I think that we're into this period of the best wine. I think we're into this period where we're going to see dynamic visitations of the Spirit, where the heavens are opened. And we've been sowing seeds into that. We've been blessed by the Spirit to be acclimated to that in a number of different ways. God has been blessing us to show us in his word the various aspects of heaven and how heaven functions. And we've in the intercession have been able to coordinate with that. And all of those things have been very, very, very much used by the Lord, who has chosen to utilize intercessors and to develop sons. That's why Jesus came, to redeem us to the Father, so that the glory he knew before the foundation of the world, we might know. All those wonderful things that Jesus said in the middle of John, in those extended red passages, he really meant them, you know. And so he's been acclimating us and acclimating you. So I just sense a different measure of how the Spirit is operating, even how the angelic are functioning. And I'm very grateful to be standing alongside all of you. And I pray that during this gathering, that I strongly believe the Lord has said to entitle by one of his names in the Old Testament, Adonai. I really believe that this is a hallmark moment for you and for what we're called to be as saints. You know, I love those names in the Old Testament of God. And I love the fact that we have been able to, as we've prayed and studied the Word by the direction of the Spirit, be able to identify to a larger degree what these names really mean. And I think as I was growing up, you would see these names and you recognized, with all due respect to those who went before, you recognized that a lot of the definitions that have been commonly accepted in the church were done by people that Paul openly said had the veil over their face. And they were still operating under the old covenant. And so many of the ones that the church just openly welcomed and embraced were really not functioning on behalf of what the Scripture itself said these terms meant. And subsequently then, we never went further with God. There's a large portion of people that won't even say the name Yahweh. And so if you don't say the name, how are you going to partner with the plan? But what we just absorbed all those things. And I think even in the Pentecostal movement, when in the early 1900s, when the Spirit began to fall in Europe, and then here in the United States in pockets, and then big time in the early aughts of the 1900s, we just embraced a lot of doctrinal positions from people who didn't even believe in the Holy Spirit. And that was our base. That was our foundation. And it's very interesting to go back and to see, wow, it's a wonder the Holy Ghost was able to do anything at all with people who were basing their doctrinal viewpoints on the idea that the Spirit doesn't move in this way. And so I'm very grateful that God has given us the opportunity, and we're still learning. And I pray that through eternity we will always be learning. But at least we're trying to base things on the power of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth guiding us into truth, which is not a collection of facts, but those things that God is saying, it's time to reveal this. This has been hidden. It's time to reveal this. That's what truth is in the Bible. And the Spirit guides us if we're willing to be guided. And when we pray in the Spirit, as we've studied, this core of our identity breathes. And the Spirit within us that's born again only through Christ communes with the Father. It's His Spirit within us. And our spirit cries unto God's Spirit in the heavens and in throughout the world. This is what the Word says. And through that, then, we have understanding. Through that, then, we have passion. Through that, then, we have the ability to be led. And through that, then, we have the ability to grow and to develop in that index of why we're on this earth. Before we give this spirit back to God when we die, and everybody has to do it. Jesus had to do it. The scripture says this over and over again. Our spirit, into your hands I commend my spirit. That goes back, and then we're judged, not in a ridicule way, but as believers, we have to give an account for what did you do with this identity? What did you do with what I put you on this earth to do? What did you do? Did you do this? That's wood, hay, and stubble. Where's the gold? And, you know, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be rejoicing. It's not going to be a beat down, but, or a guilt fest. But we are going to regret. I know there's going to be an element of regret. Oh, God really wanted me to do this, and I only did this. And even the 30, 60, 100 fold, that's such a primer for who we are. The 30 is the development of those that should be mighty in the Lord. The 60 is establishing them so that they spread and make disciples. And these are terms that are recognized numerically in the people who wrote these scriptures. And Jesus well knew this. The 100 is those that will establish the gates, those that will be the gatekeepers who welcome heaven to earth, who permeate different continental places with what the kingdom really wants. And, you know, the sad thing is some 30, some 60, some hundredfold, those are just the ones that are actually doing something. You realize that, don't you? And I know that for many years I was not concentrated on being mighty in anything. I was just tending the sheep, you know, as a pastor. You know, trying to keep everybody happy, trying to build numbers, trying to look good at the district conventions. And I'm not sure really. I know that God loved us. I know that He would heal people. I know all those wonderful things because God is just that way. But when we really were touched by the Spirit, we said, you know, we're here for a reason. We're on our face calling unto the kingdom on behalf of our Father. He's releasing these dynamisms of spiritual languages. He's opening up the heavens. Man, oh man, how could we say no to that? And then as we followed that, then God started to say, okay, you need to be this, you need to be that. And that progression to the 30 started. And God worked on us for a little over 7 years before we even had any kind of real explosion into going out anywhere. At about 5 years, we started interacting with our friends at Christian International, who really helped us to glean the idea that we could really prophesy and that we could really hear from God and that we could really say that there actually is a thing of prophets in the church. There actually is a thing of prophetic presbytery. There actually is a thing of being teachers in the spirit. Those fivefold things that I was told really don't function today. There aren't any more apostles. There aren't any more of those prophets. Woo, watch out for them. And it's just the truth. I'm not ridiculing anybody. I'm talking to the... At some point, we have to call a spade a spade. Paul did that. Jesus did that. You know, we're supposed to do the works of Jesus. What did he do? I mean, you have to call people out of dormancy into function. That's the essence. You know, we believe in prophetic presbytery. What are you supposed to do when you prophesy? You call somebody into their identity. You call into the crypto of their life and you say, wake up! This is what you're to be. And they say, oh, for the first time I feel this. And they're on their face saying, God is here. That's an awakening. We don't say, oh, I don't want to offend you, brother. You know, I don't want to offend you. Wake up! Open your eyes. Be what you're supposed to be. And that's the clarion call of these days, because time is short. Time is short. We're on a fast track to the things that are written in the eschatological literature, the end times. And we're moving. If you don't, what are the signs among us? Did you ever think in your life? Now, just think about this, and I've got a message here, you know, prove it. McKenna just passed out we're getting there. But did you ever think in your life, back during those days when you were watching those bell-bottom movies where people thief in the night, you were all scared that the Lord was... Did you ever think in that time frame that you would see the United States and Israel fighting together in the Middle East? Did you ever think you'd see that? Oh, these things can't be. But it's happening right now. Did you ever think about that? What do you think that is? Could it be a sign? Wow. When's Jesus coming back? Well, the better question is, what's he doing now? And are you doing it with him? And so this is what we as saints have been being trained for. We are moving, thanks be to God, in prophetic ways. You are throughout the earth in unprecedented measure by the directive of the Lord, only by that directive, to raise up disciples for the kingdom and to establish people around the world to welcome the kingdom of God and to engage in spiritual warfare for their terio through the power of the cross. And this is, people are hungry for it. Those of you who have traveled with us, I'm so happy that our French-speaking saints are with us today. You are allies. You are our trusted sisters in Christ. And we value you. There's an efficacy that you have and a passion that has stood fervently alongside this calling. And you've touched the kingdom. You have blessed the Lord. And we're so very thankful for you. And we know that there are some unbelievable things that are going to be happening in Western Europe in this next year. And it's going to be a blessing to see how God is equipping you and going to use you for that. But right now, in South America, the harvest field is burgeoning. It's unbelievable the ways that churches and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who are spirit-filled are wanting the deeper things of God and are willing to stand and take dominion. It's so incredible to see the open doors that God has given. So it's just a privilege to stand here and to talk about what God as Adonai is doing in you. You know, we read in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's not his first, middle, and last name. Jesus Christ is Lord. People said, I hear that all the time. And it's true. Well, what does that really mean? Why is he called that? Jesus, the name above all names. That really is, what is the greatest measure that our Savior did for us? It was so that we could know God. That's the greatest deliverance. That's the greatest salvation. That we could be born again through him and know the Father. It's better for you that I go away, because if I do this, you will know the Father and you will know him and the Holy Spirit will come. What did he mean by that? Well, Jesus came as Emmanuel, Elohim with us. And through him, we have the privilege on this earth of knowing and loving God and having that love of God, which is greater than anything, the agape of God. That's Jesus. And we're so grateful for him. And that's why he stands with us. And that's that measure of Jacob at Bethel, where he had the altar for Elohim. Now that's that picture. What is Christ? Christ is the anointed Son. Christ is when you come into that point and you say, I will do the Father's business. Anoint me. I'm willing to go. Let your Spirit be with me, be upon me, be through me, be in me, and let me accomplish this will of my Father. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. That's Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be joint heirs and heirs with Christ. And unless or until you come to that place where you say, Father, I want to do your will. I'm not coming here to ask you for a plethora of things. That's what most seminars are. How do I get God to do what I want? He's trying to get you to do what he wants. And this is his will. This is Christ. And that's why we're called Christian. Because we should be as those disciples who said, look at those men. They've been with Jesus. In the Old Testament, when they'd call for a prophet, they'd call for the man of Elohim, the man of God, somebody that knew God. Somebody that was functioning on behalf of God, not just like Tim the Enchanter and Monty Python, who can explode things here and there and entertain everybody. Good gracious, there's Brother Fulton. God bless you, brother. We can start now, Tina. We've been just warming up. This has been a filibuster. This has been a Fulton buster. So, but Christ is what we're to be, and when we function in the heavens, it's because of the anointing of the Spirit. It's because of our willingness to do the will of the Father. Everything in the spirit realm, remember, is about relationship and that measure of authority that God has given you. And so as you do those things, then you enter into this measure of Lord, Kurios. And the Kurios is always a divested authority under God. The Kurios is, Lord, is always that you have been created in this unique fashion. You have been given a certain skill set. You've been given an identity. And now you function in that. So you begin by knowing the Father. You then say, I'm willing to serve you according to your plan. And then as you do those things, who you are in God begins to be identified. Does that make sense? Have you lived that way? Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, what about the other names of God? Well, somewhere you've got to have the Holy Spirit come in, don't you? And if you talk about El Shaddai, the one who's with you to teach you, to watch over you, to guide you, well, that's the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of truth. What about Rophe? That which in essence is those gateways that connect heaven to earth. That's what Rapa means. And from when you welcome the power of God in that way, then healing comes, then prosperity comes, then the giants and fruitfulness comes. That's the essence of Rophe. So it is a tactical partnership with God where you enter into that place and you say with Caleb, you know, this place, this Hebron, this is a mountain. Give me this mountain. Giants have been there. Giant fruit comes from there. Incredible things. Well, this belongs to God. This doesn't belong to the enemy. Give me that. That's so essential. What about Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. What about that one? Well, that's where we connect with the angelic. That's where the sons and the Sabbath, that seventh day. We align ourselves as Moses did at the mercy seat. We're hearing from the Father, and in the presence of the cherubs and in the principalities, we're saying, let's go forward. All of these things make sense unless you're not functioning in them. Then it's easier for you to just say, well, you know, I'm functioning as the old-timey Jews did, and here's their definitions, and I bless that. I bless Israel. Our nation, you know, say what you will, but ain't nobody else standing up for Israel but us. Ain't nobody else out there who's saying, yeah, we're with you. Everybody else is tucking tail and running. No, we don't want to get in the battle. No, we don't want to support them. No, we don't want to be seen as this. So say what you will, we support Israel. But, you know, the point, though, is that we are new covenant. We are from our father Abraham. We are the one that is tapped into that root of Jacob. And we want to be faithful in that. So when we say Adonai, I said and believed this a long time ago that it equates with Kyrios. It equates with the Lord. It equates with Lord. Because Adonai from Adon really means place. It means position. It means created identity. And when it's just like, you know, if you're working in a job, you know what the quickest way to be promoted, other than that your daddy owns the company or Bob's your uncle? The quickest way is to show that you really are invested in that place. And you're going to do the job. You're going to work. You're going to learn. You're going to, the best ability is availability. You're going to be there. You're going to do that. And then they say, hey, this guy's got a future here. Or this girl's got a future here. I think we'll give them your faithfulness in small things. I'll make you ruler over others. And that's the way the kingdom functions. There's lots of scriptures that say it. And so this business of Adon and Adonai is always, hey, you were created for this. God has a place, and he wants you to serve him in the way he created you to do this work, which is why he has you alive at this point. So are you willing to get in line? I'm going to skip ahead here in a minute in our outline. That first one we'll talk about here in a minute, but let's look at some transformations there. It's the second heading on page one. Moses was that way. And these are all Adonai things. Exodus 4:10. Moses said unto Yahweh, O Adonai, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am combative of speech and I am combative of tongue. Some people think he stuttered. But this is kabod. It's a kabod. And I think it's more that he was saying, I don't really know how to communicate the glory in the way you're saying here at this bush that's burning, that I don't know how to communicate that. Because if you say kabod, which is the weightiness of the glory, and that's the derivative that Jesus used to describe his tongue, that's interesting. But Moses is openly saying, you're asking me to do something, Adonai, according to your plan, and I don't think I can do it. What about Isaiah? Isaiah 6:1, great transformative time. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw Adonai sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the whole discussion then was that, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm among a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. I've got iniquity. He's just saying, hey, I don't think I can do this. And the further on then, Isaiah was touched by the coal of the altar, that structure. And he became the New Testament book of the Old Testament. Look what he says in Isaiah 61. Jesus quoted this, his first sermon. The Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me. This is how Jesus launched his sermon. The Son of God, the Spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good things. Here's the plan of God. Here it is, Yahweh. Good tidings to the meek. Bind up the brokenhearted. Proclaim liberty to the captives. Opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh, the plan of God. And the vengeance of the heart of God to comfort all that mourn. Jesus begins it by saying, I'm here because Adonai has created me. The Father has created me to fulfill his business and to do his plan. Man, I think you can't. How are you going to top that? Now, Jesus didn't think, I can't do it. But Jesus recognized that it was not by his might or by his power, but only by the Spirit. It was the Spirit without measure. It was all God's Spirit. Because if he was doing it simply as God, then none of us have any chance anywhere of doing anything. And the enemy would be all over that. Well, Dennis, you can't do it. You're not God. He was God. You're not. Tammy, you should have said amen to that. But, you know, the thing is that it was through the power of the Holy Spirit, based upon what the Father had sent him as Lord to be, in conjunction with his Father's business, which is Yahweh. This was Isaiah prophesying that. And he says in Isaiah 66, in Psalm 66, you know, this business of iniquity. Verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Adonai will not hear me. What does that mean? If you've not studied on the teaching platform what iniquity is, you need to do it. Iniquity is simply this. You're not functioning as the purpose of God within you should be functioning. You're not utilizing what God put in you for him. That's iniquity. That's the heart of iniquity. And if you're doing that, you're not going to link with Adonai. Think of that. If it is that true, and it is true, that Adonai in the Old Testament recognizes God's plan in you, what he created you to be and what he's expecting you to be. Well, if I'm using those things for other things and not for him, you're not going to communicate with Adonai. Doesn't that make sense? You know? So, let's keep looking at these. Jeremiah 1:4, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord, Adonai, Yahweh. Oh, I can't speak. I'm a child. But Yahweh said, do not tell me you're a child, for you will go to all that I send you. Do you think God speaks that way? It's right here in the Word. And whatever I command you, you're going to speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you to deliver you, says Yahweh, the plan of God. Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And Yahweh said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. This is your identity according to my plan. I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. We're doing at least some of those things. But how did he begin? Adonai. Not me. And God had a really stern answer to him. Yahweh, 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 Yahweh. Don't tell me that. Don't say that to me. Let's keep going. What about Gideon? Gideon says in Judges 6:15, oh my Adonai, how am I going to save Israel? Look, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Who's Gideon talking to? Adonai. What about Solomon at Gibeon? 1 Kings 3:10. Solomon, you ask me whatever you want to ask me. You ask me. Well, Solomon said, you know what? I'm just a little guy. I don't know how to go out or to come in. And he's saying this nobly. But if you will give me wisdom and understanding, I will follow how you direct me to take the light into the darkness. That's what wisdom means. And so the speech pleased who? Adonai, that Solomon had asked these things. And Elohim said to him, because you have asked this, here's the heart of God. Because you have asked this thing and have not asked yourself long life, nor riches for yourself, nor asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto you. I've given you that which you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David did walk, then I will lengthen your days. The objective of Solomon was that he, instead of saying, I can't do it, I mean, he was going to be the king. It's good to be the king. He was going to be the king. It was a Mel Brooksism. I never listened to those things. He says, you know, this is a big responsibility. I mean, how do you follow David? I mean, how do you do that? I need wisdom. Ding, 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 ding. I need you to direct me. I need you to instruct me. I need you to lead me. I need your counsel. I need you to be at the helm of this thing. And Adonai answers, great, because this is exactly what I wanted from you. Isn't that great? You know, I love what Job says, Job 28:28. Unto man he said, behold, the fear of Adonai, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Whew. You know, I can tell you right now that the only reason God has been able to use us and you is because we've been on our face before him, praying in the Spirit, doing our very best to do things as he would do them. Years ago, God told me, I will make the appointments. Don't you try to force anything. Don't you try, this is me saying it, God didn't say this, don't you try to trick it up. Don't play parlor games. You follow me. And God has done that, hasn't he? That's wisdom. I pray that we continue to function in wisdom. And I think the plethora of understandings of the word has come because of that. Only because of that. But what we are, and we pray this, we don't want to be like anybody else. We want to be what God says for us to be. And that's Adonai, and that's Lord. That's what the Lord is. Jesus didn't try to do anything other than what his Father said. And he tried every way he could to be about his Father's business. And when he said it is finished, he was saying, the index of what you put me on this earth to do is now done. Isn't that wonderful? Let's keep looking. I like on that third page, and we're going to come back to that very first point in point one. Adonai Yahweh will do nothing. Amos 3:7. Surely, don't call me surely. Adonai Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. The lion roars, who will not fear? Adonai Yahweh has spoken. How in the world can you do anything but prophesy? He's revealing secrets. Well, I don't know about that. My Aunt Nellie never did things that way. Well, Aunt Nellie didn't know God's secrets. And if she said she did, if she knew all of God's secrets, she's lying. So the thing that we heard so many times, well, you know, I wasn't raised that way. Well, thank God you weren't raised that way. Because God's got a lot of secrets that he wasn't saying back then, and they're all based in the Word. Adonai Yahweh will do nothing unless he's functioning in people who are willing to say, yes, Lord, show me what the Spirit of truth is revealing now. Because those that are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. I love that. Surely, Adonai Yahweh won't do anything unless he's got a people who are willing to hear his secrets and say yes, and then to commit their life to do it. That's the essence of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony, the martyria that Jesus depicted. And so that's the essence. Look at this Amos 7:7. Amos, you ever know anybody named Amos? That's a name that's gone kind of by the wayside. But Amos 7, the only Amos they've heard of came out of that Jerry Reed song, Amos Moses. Oh, I never listened to such things. All right, I'll get going. Amos 7:7. Then he showed me, and behold, Adonai stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And Yahweh said unto me, Amos, what do you see? What is that saying? God's going to communicate with you according to his eternal plan. But the way that plumb line is going is in conjunction with Adonai saying, this is what I want. This is the way I created it. And you are with me, Amos. I have created you to partner with me. What am I revealing? What am I revealing to you? Instead of saying, what are you seeing? It's, are you seeing what I'm revealing? But it's Adonai that's structuring this thing. So I would say an additional thing is this. If you're not aligned with what God created you to be, and you're not doing, if it's not, hey, you know, I have this dream, it's my purpose, and so I'm going to do everything I can to accomplish this. This is my agenda. No. What has God created you to be? And you be that. And unless you're being that, you're not going to be able to see his secrets, and you're not going to be able to align with what that plumb line is doing. It's just true. So the plumb line of Adonai is stretching out throughout the nations right now. He's rebuilding walls. He's rebuilding the kingdom. And he's trying to populate those places that he created for his glory with people that he has created and allowed to live right now. How are you going to welcome the kingdom? How are you going to establish the cross? How are you going to take dominion in this place that I created for my glory? How are you going to do this? Well, we've got to go and teach people. You need to pray. You need to be on your face. The Father searches for that. You need to be praying in the Spirit. You need to be interpreting what God is saying to you. You need to know the Word. Here, let us help you. Let us show you the things. You know, they say that when people in the last days will say, let us be called by your name. Let us take hold of the hem of your garment. We want to embrace what God has taught you about calling unto him as intercessors and your identity. We want to be known by our identity and that God has created us to be. We will worship with you. We will welcome the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what Adonai has given us to do. And it's obvious that he's opening the doors. I mean, it's incredible. I've said this over the past few years. I'm stunned by the hunger of people to embrace what God has shown in the Word. I'm stunned by that. Because for so many years, we've been like Jeremiah. Don't be afraid of their faces. Turn your face to the wall. I've made your forehead like a flint. You say these things. And now, it's kind of a hard thing for me to understand. So many people want this thing that God has scrupulously trained us. It's stunning, but it's God's way. One of the things that we're going to see is as we're going forth in war, and on Friday, one of the sessions that I'm going to be bringing is how we as saints need to incorporate a prayer agenda for missions. We've been learning this, sometimes the hard way, but we're going to lay forward a primer for covering both before, going, during, after, and then the people that we're based. It's going to be based on a fivefold prayer directive. But I love this because in Psalm 78, one of my favorite Don Potter songs says, "Then the Lord awaked as if from a sleep." That's Adonai. Adonai awaked. "And like a mighty man that shouts by reason of wine, smiting his enemies in the hinder parts," or hinder parts. Hinder sounds better to me. You get your hinder parts up off that chair. Get up off of that chair and dance till you feel better. Brother Fulton and I are going to do that one here. We've got a Frederick Douglass icon that we're going to put up on the piano while we sing it. How does he know those songs? "And he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach." How does God awaken as a mighty man? Adonai. If you're going someplace, you better be going there because Adonai, with the plumb line, has said, "I created you for this reason. Go there. Be not afraid of their faces. I am with you." And when the enemy comes, and when, not if, when the enemy comes in, like that flood of the Lord, God raises up his standard, and Adonai awakes. The enemy's not going to get, he's tried this, hasn't he? At the end of missions, he's tried to attack us over and over again. God has preserved us. Now, I wore this shirt today for a reason. I've been wearing this shirt for over 20 years. Not every day. But I wore this on one of our initial journeys into France. I wore this. Whenever I go into a new nation, I wear this shirt. It's sacclothy. I wore this on the escalator. I wore this the other day. God said, "You wear this shirt today." It was just during the week, and I thought, why? And the enemy came against me, a physical attack, just whacked me. And I was laying there on the ground, and I started laughing. I said, "Lord, you told me to wear this shirt." Surprise! But I wear this as a testimony that God is with us as we go forward to see restoration brought, for light to come into the darkness. God is with us. So Adonai is the one that awakes as if it's from his sleep. And one day in heaven, Isaiah 25:8 says that God will swallow up death in victory, and Adonai Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. And Yahweh has spoken it. What does this mean? You know, we read these kinds of things. You know, God keeps our tears in a bottle. We've studied about Baca. We've studied about a lot of different things about weeping. But I don't think up in heaven we're going to be standing there, "Oh, God, why did you let this happen? I just don't. Oh, come here, you sweet little thing. Let me wipe those tears from your face." I'm standing up here crying right now. I'm not boo-hooing. I'm happy in the Lord. Tears are a language before the Lord. It expresses from the essence of who we are. It's, to me, it's like part of that water realization where our bodies are as the river of God, and out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. There's something about tears that are not "woe is me." It's an appeal. It's a reaction to the Spirit of the Lord. I remember like a year and a half ago, I talked about all the different varieties of tears and the chemical makeup. But the summation of this is this: Yahweh Adonai is going to wipe away tears from all faces. And we're going to recognize the triumph, the faithfulness of God in the midst of challenge. We're going to recognize that even though you may have suffered for the kingdom's sake, you've been made ruler. If you suffer with me, you will reign with me. We'll recognize the fullness of our identity and the privilege of our partnership with God. And that's going to be a triumphant day. You know, I don't know what people think heaven's going to be. Well, you know, I've got some questions I'm going to ask God when I get up there. We sing those old-timey Southern gospel songs. I used to sing them in a quartet. And I don't think when I get to heaven, I'm going to have any questions for the Lord. Other than, why in the world did you love me and let me be here? I think all the cares of this, what's that old hymn we used to sing when Tammy played the organ? And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You're not going to care when you're in heaven. You're not going to show up at the throne and say, God, I've got a bone to pick with you. Where's that bone? I had it here. Don't know where it is. No, that's not happening. So let's go back to point one. You think you can manage that? Through February, we in the Saints Network had been honoring the Lord in Isaiah 22, verse 12, a weekly measure of devotion and fast before God that was ordered by Adonai Yahweh. And we began by this measure of and the Lord of hosts. So there was that combining with the angelic. You know, we also have done that with the fast of feasting, the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th, which is throughout the years, the 4th month, 5th month, 7th month, 10th month, we try to do whatever we can to evaluate what's going on in us so that we can align ourselves with the angelic hosts. Because they've been sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's what the scripture says, to fulfill the will of God. And us being heirs and joint heirs is all a demonstration of what we've done on behalf of these things we've been talking about. But here, Adonai, Yahweh of hosts, called us first of all to baka, secondly to mourning. We went through these and we identified them every week. To baldness, which is really that commitment to fulfill the vow of the Lord, the yuche of God, and to go forth to see light shine in the darkness. And that really culminated for us when we were in Brazil. And those last days of February, that dynamic sign that came from the heavens that rocked that nation in the natural but in the spirit. This was ordered by Adonai, by the plan of God, and by the angelic. And what we were asked to do as saints was participating in God taking us into a new place in him, a new dimension of what we are called to be and what is coming, how God's going to use us. And God used that February as a time where we were aligning. We were aligning in obedience. We weren't doing it to get something. We were doing it to align. And any kind of fast, as we know, any kind of thing where God says, I want you to do this before me, is not to convince him, not to say, okay, I was waffling as to whether I really wanted to do this in you, but since you really show me you really want to do it, well, okay. No, it's always get me ready. If there's any way in me that needs to be corrected, see if there be anything. I want to be pure so that I can function with you. And I believe that this seminar, these days, there's going to be an increasing alignment with what Adonai has called us to do. And I'm grateful for all of you. I really am. It's not been easy for you to continue in this walk. But through God's grace, through His love, through His mercy, He's preserved us. And boy, did I give Him fits to get me to this point. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that we're alive and remain. And there's something that God's going to be releasing during this week into your life, but it's for the purpose of not just giving you a new goosebump or a chicken skin. That's what the French say. I think that's so funny. They say something else in Portuguese, and I don't remember what it is, but it's equally goofy. But, you know, goose, chicken, whatever. I don't know what it is. Piranha, maybe. But, but you know, it's for the purpose of bringing you into a measure. A piranha nibble. What's a nibble between friends? You know, it's for the purpose of bringing us into this place that God is expecting us to serve. And that's a thrill to me. And I thank Him for it. And so I release this dimension of what the Spirit of God is wanting to do in my life, in the life of this church, in the life of your of you and your churches, and the life of all of our network family, wherever you may be planted, however God has called you. Things are changing. And we'll be talking more about various things in these days to come. It's always that circumcision of the heart, the circumcision of the steering wheel of our life, to where we say, yes, Lord, and we can function on behalf of our authority through God in conjunction with what the head is wanting. And I'm so grateful. We're not starting the next session for another 7 minutes. I want to say another thing about this. You know, for like 3 or 4 months, I was having incredible pain in my neck. For some of you, I've been in a pain in neck for you for a long time. But, I initially saw a chiropractor about it, and they gave me some best guess, but it didn't do any good. And then I went after many, many months to like a physical therapist, and he was a nice guy, and he did some stuff, and it didn't help. And finally dawned on me that there's nothing wrong with me physically. This is a spiritual thing. Duh. It's kind of like that joke that you see the cartoon where these people are standing around a grave, and there's a tombstone, and it says, "See, I told you it wasn't spiritual." It's written there. But this was spiritual. And so I was saying, well, what does spiritual mean? Well, you know, the Bible speaks about stiff-necked people that resist from a religious world, and the circumcision of the heart against stiff-neckedness. And I knew that there was something that we were going to be asked to do for the religious world, and something that God was wanting to do in us that connects the shoulders with the authority, the epaulets, and the head. And, you know, the neck represents, are you willing to do on behalf of what God's asked you to do? Are you willing to do what the head is commanding you to do? And these are biblical things. And when we entered into this thing, Isaiah 22:12 was gone. Man hasn't returned. And I'm very grateful. So I know whatever resistance was there was some kind of an opposition, but it was an opposition that belied a greater efficacy and authority for what we're called to do. And we're seeing churches, we're seeing pastors, we're seeing religious movements begin to open and to be willing to say, we surrender all. We're not just going to sing it, we're actually going to do it to whatever God wants. We're not going to be stiff-necked. We're going to have a circumcision of the heart. We're going to be willing to say, yes, Lord. And I'm grateful for that. Now, I don't advocate that that you have physical problems. I'm not declaring that. But I'm also not dumb. I know that it happens. I know that it happens. There are even people that sometimes in ministry, I was talking to Pastor Rob about this recently. He's had this happen. I've had this happen. Sometimes I will be in ministry and suddenly I'll feel some pain in my body. And my first thing is the enemy attacking? And I have to analyze, why is this hitting here? What does this part of my body represent? And then sometimes it's a sign that there's somebody in the place who's suffering in that area. And when you declare that into them, is somebody having a pain in this way? And healing comes. I don't explain why that happens, but I know it does. I know that tomorrow morning we're going to be talking about the pillars in heaven. And what's at the top of those pillars, at the very top of those, as well as the connective to the candlestick, is something that is based off of the galal. If we're going to function in those ways, we've got to be willing to submit ourselves so that God can cut away whatever it is that would restrict us in the natural from really serving Him in that way. So if we've not totally scared you off by the time I finish and then Monica comes up and finishes, she won't scare you off, but I'm pretty sure I do. Come back and we'll see what God's going to do. But this is a promotion time for you. There are new things happening. God's releasing new things. And it's the essence of it, in final, is that He's created you for a purpose. He knows who you are. And it's not bad to say, oh, Lord God, I can't do it. To me, yeah, you can carry that on and just totally say, I'm not doing this, I can't do it, I'm just afraid. Or you can say, the realization is, in mine own flesh, I can do nothing. It's not by might, it's not by my power, it's by your Spirit. And that's really, when I'm weak, He's made strong. When you recognize that this is God's plan, it's going to be in His way, and you know, nothing in you is going to be able to do this other than your willingness and obedience. And that's the essence of all those times where those mighty men said, no, I can't, I'm a child, I can't speak these deep things, you know, I'm of a poor family, and you know, all those excuses. Well, when we lay our excuses out before the Lord, we recognize, yes, you've said this. Like Jeremiah, Yahweh is going to have a lot to say about that. Don't say that. Don't do this. You've been called to this. Get with it. And really, God is serious about you. And it's a privilege to serve Him with you. Father, I thank you for this. I pray that as Monica comes now, that there will be a heightened measure of prophetic anointing for what's going to be released. And it's an honor to be here with you. Thank you. We love you. And I speak blessing upon every one of these precious people, and even those that aren't so precious. I pray a blessing upon every one of them. And I pray that you would activate who we're created to be, that we would serve you and bless you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.